You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the last couple of days, Canterbury has seen a massive flooding event. Weather stations across the region have recorded well over 300 millimetres of rain over Sunday and Monday, with one station recording half a metre of rain. That is a lot of rain for the typically very dry Canterbury region. Experts have been describing the rainfall and flooding as a one in 100 year event. Images have been shared online of people standing in their driveways and streets with water levels up to their knees, stock stranded in paddocks filled with water as rivers break their banks, and bridges damaged by the masses of water hurtling downstream. As a Cantabrian myself, I can never avoid a Canterbury story, so I wanted to speak to some experts about the resilience of the Canterbury community, now looking at what will probably be a long clean-up of the damage of the flood. I also wanted to talk about the growing relevance of climate warming to extreme weather events. I began by speaking to University of Otago Acting Director for the Centre of Sustainability and expert in resilience to natural challenges, Caroline Orchiston, to discuss how communities respond to natural disasters. Here is Caroline. In your work in resilience to nature's challenges, is there a common way communities respond to severe weather events like the floods currently in Canterbury?
Well, particularly in rural communities, there's a strong network of people who know each other and who look after each other during these types of events. And so for many of our rural communities, they've been through numerous disruptive events like this in the past, and they draw on those experiences and they work together to get through it. And there's a lot of mutual support and there's a lot of help that's being offered across, you know, farming communities where, for example, some farms might be worse affected than others. You know, their neighbours will chip in and help out. So this is just what we tend to do in New Zealand. We've seen that numerous times. For example, after the Canterbury earthquakes, people just helped each other. Neighbours who didn't actually know each other previously were suddenly sharing barbecues and talking more across the fence and things like that to support each other. So it's just kind of human nature, and we're really good at doing that in New Zealand.
And it is something that you've seen during the Canterbury floods over the last couple of days?
Yes, definitely. We've seen, for example, in Ashburton, Hakariri Marae opening up the doors for looking after people for welfare and giving them hot dinners and a place for the night if they've been stranded. So that's a really classic example. And again, iwi have been really important in terms of responding to a number of recent disasters that we've had in New Zealand. You know, we've had the Pigeon Valley fires, and the iwi response up there was incredible. Also, the Kaikoura earthquake at Takahanga Marae up in Kaikoura played a really key role in looking after 1,200 stranded tourists. So again, these responses from our communities, they just happen, and they're quite remarkable, yeah.
Now, when it comes to something like a flood, where the last couple of days we've seen paddocks and streets just filled with water, obviously that is devastating in itself, but as the water clears, there's likely to be other damaging impacts for people when it comes to clearing up debris that has been left by the floods. Do you know whether there has been any community plan or community response to what's going to happen next when it comes to clearing away the damage of the flood?
Well, look, I think that's still still underway in terms of assessing the damage. I think today is probably the first day that the rain stopped and the sun's come out, and it's going to be possible to get out across large areas of Canterbury, across the plains that have been affected by this. And so these sorts of damage assessments will be happening today. And then plans will be in place for how to fix some of the broken bridges and roads and farm infrastructure, fences, culverts, all of those things that have suffered really incredible damage. And then, of course, in the longer term, there are issues around paddocks, you know, being inundated by gravel and these sorts of farm impacts that aren't going to be fixed overnight. This is going to take time to restore grazing, and, you know, the farmers are going to have a long road to recovery in many parts of across Canterbury. The other thing is that these sorts of disasters often lead to indirect consequences for other parts of the island. And so, for example, I live in Dunedin, and in the news today we were told to expect empty shelves at the supermarket because the deliveries from Christchurch weren't coming through last night to replenish stocks of bread and things like that. So These indirect impacts are going to be felt quite widely across the South Island because Canterbury and Christchurch in particular is obviously the hub for a lot of fast-moving consumable goods. And travel disruptions. You know, I'm meant to be driving up to Christchurch tomorrow, but I've had to quickly book a flight to get there, knowing that the Ashburton Bridge is under repair and it might take several days to restore that. So, yeah, there are lots and lots of cascading consequences of events like this across the South Island.
Now, earlier you mentioned that Cantabrians and people across New Zealand are good at coming together and working together to solve problems when it comes to being resilient to natural disasters. Canterbury, I feel like, particularly has experienced a large number of natural disasters and events, the earthquakes and the fires and then now flooding. Mm. Do you think that these events like this have prepared not only Cantabrians but also New Zealanders across the board for potentially future ongoing effects of climate change and how that might become worse later on?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. You're spot on because, you know, last week Canterbury was in drought and this week suddenly they've had a 1 in 200 year flood. So these things are going to carry on happening. We've got to expect more unsettled weather, you know, these sorts of disruptive events will come more regularly. And I think New Zealanders are becoming more familiar with that feeling of, okay, there's uncertainty. We don't know that things aren't going to carry on the way they have been. We're going to have to be more, expect more disruption. So I think New Zealanders are coming to terms with that over time because, as you say, there have been numerous events that have affected Canterbury, but also right across the island. There aren't many parts of the country that haven't had some kind of climate or hazard-related event in recent years. So I work a lot with emergency managers, and I know that they're all dealing with a range of issues within their own regions all the time. So these things, they're going to carry on happening, and we have to get used to that.
That was University of Otago Acting Director for the Centre of Sustainability speaking on the resilience of communities in the Canterbury floods. I then went on to speak to Senior Research Fellow at Victoria University of Wellington's Climate Change Research Institute, Dr. Judy Lawrence. We discussed how climate change has and will continue to impact weather events such as the Christchurch floods and how New Zealand can prepare for climate-caused weather events and natural disasters in the future. Over the last few days, we've seen Christchurch experience a massive flooding event. How has climate change impacted weather events such as this?
When greenhouse gases increase in the atmosphere, they warm the atmosphere, and warm atmosphere holds much more moisture. So just from basic physics, we know that there will be, as we warm the world, there will be more moisture in the atmosphere, which has to be rained out at some point. And so we expect to find that there will be more frequent high-intensity storms. There will be more high-intensity storms. And that means that we're going to see potentially the sorts of rainfall events that we've seen in Christchurch. Now, attributing each event to climate change, there was a methodology for doing that, which people at our institute and Victoria University have been using. And so some of the changes that have occurred can be attributable to climate change. Now, we don't know yet, of course, this particular event. The work has to be done. So that's the first thing. But the second thing that we need to reflect on is that these events can occur anywhere at any time. So that's pause for thought about how we can think about how we prepare for that in the future.
In talking about preparation, I was just going to say, obviously, Canterbury is quite sort of drought prone and is often quite dry. And then other parts of the country are quite wet, like Auckland. We see a lot of rain a lot of the time. How can New Zealand sort of prepare for weather events when everywhere is got a different weather pattern as it is?
Right, and that's a really good question because it's not just the weather pattern, it's the conditions when the rain falls, and it's also the geomorphology of the ground as well and where flow paths go when the rain falls. So yes, each area has its own unique characteristics, but there are ways of thinking about the future that can, if you like, stress test each of our unique locations with a range of scenarios of the future. And that gives us, if we do that with a number of scenarios that are quite plausible in the future, then we can get a feel for the sensitivity of a particular location for particular sized rain events, and test particularly our infrastructure, like our roads, our bridges, our culverts, our stop banks, our stormwater systems. All of them need to be stress tested as we repair them and as we build new ones against a range of different scenarios of the future. And those can be converted into flow, hydrological flow, and that flow can then be modelled against the characteristics of the ground so that we have a good picture of the topography and have a feel strategically across a whole region as to where the hotspots are. And knowing the hotspots, then looking at what the options are for addressing those, whether they be putting in bigger pipes or creating overland flow. That's one way of doing it, which is increasingly becoming the way to do it as we're expecting, you know, very large events which will stress communities and stress infrastructure.
The constant worry when it comes to reacting to the climate crisis and preparing for future events caused by climate change, a big problem is that we're potentially not moving fast enough in our reaction to the way climate change is affecting the country as it is. How can we stay on top and predict potentially how bad it could get?
I think you've got to start somewhere. I mean, that's the point.
Mm.
We can't continue just building areas in where we know they're going to be affected by flow paths, for example. So we have to start and take a more strategic approach. But I think the most important thing is to sit back and reflect and not just to fix up this flood and then go back to business as usual. Because, you know, as you quite rightly say, we have to keep up with this in some way. We have to think of flow-on effects, excuse the pun, but that's what it's about. There'll be huge cascading impacts from what's happened in Canterbury and what happens when we have these big events. And that's not just to the people immediately affected. You know, it flows on to movement around areas, people undertaking jobs, running businesses, getting to university, you know, all the things that we do in our lives are affected by these events. And so we have to sort of stand back and think about, you know, what is really important here and where are the really big, you know, hotspots regionally across New Zealand. Now, the government currently is preparing a national adaptation plan, and that plan will be put out next year, which will identify, hopefully, a plan of action at the national level. But that has to be joined up with a plan of action with regional and local councils and with communities. So, yes, it's a big task, but if we don't start it now, we're just not going to have the resources to deal with it in the future.
That was Senior Research Fellow Dr. Judy Lawrence speaking on the impact of climate change on extreme weather events like the Canterbury floods and how New Zealand can prepare for similar events in the future. Ahead of a stand-up in Canterbury by the Prime Minister, Acting Minister for Emergency Management Chris Faafoi and Minister for Agriculture Damien O'Connor at 1:15 this afternoon, the government has just announced that $500,000 in funding will go towards flood recovery measures, and that has been announced by the Agriculture Minister.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.